we had one more important sound we wanted you to hear?
Hello, everybody. My name is Siklepsina Slobel, and welcome to our show. In this issue of Hacker Public Radio, in this episode of Hacker Public Radio, we're going to be talking to Erg, one of the programmers of the new groundbreaking Sega Genesis or Sega Mega Drive demo, Overdrive. This is the best demo I've seen so far, and the Mega Drive scene, the Sega Genesis scene, needs to be a little bit more mature. We are a young scene, and there aren't too many demos for it, and so this groundbreaking demo really, really sets the bar, and I hope to see future demos that are quite like this. Let me play it for you, and after that, we'll get on to the interview. I want to apologize a little bit because you can hear me breathing. I had my mic on too loud when I talked to Erg in Mumble, so I apologize for the sound of my breath. But let's get to the demo, and then we'll get to Erg. Everyone, we're with Erg, programmer, part of the programming team for the new Mega Drive demo called Overdrive, which we just played for you. This is a demo, right? So it's visual, and I'll give the link is in the show notes to the actual demo, so you can download it and watch it, or watch it on YouTube, or something like that. How are you doing today, Erg?
I'm fine, thanks for having me. How about you?
I'm doing pretty well. A little lacking on sleep, but apart from that, I'm doing well. So, how did you get into the Mega Drive scene?
I started programming for the Mega Drive in 2009, and I've been interested in the system since around 2006-07-ish, mostly by influence from the Sonic hacking scene, which got me started, and later it progressed. Basically, it's been a lot of fun because the videos that I saw on YouTube about Genesis programming and the availability of the tools at that time was already pretty good, I would say. There was a basic compiler, so I just decided to start doing things.
Really? There's a basic compiler? That's amazing. Who did the basic compiler?
A guy called Joseph Norman. He's a Mega Drive software or hardware wizard, one of the original ones in the internet age, I would say. He basically turned his Mega Drive into a computer, wrote the interpreter, compiler, and all these kinds of crazy things. He's a really nice guy.
Okay. So onto the demo scene. When was your first demo for the Mega Drive?
With the aforementioned basic compiler, I made a pretty terrible demo, and I released it in April 2009 on a party called Breakpoint. And the responses were mixed and leaning slightly towards the bad side, but that's to be expected, so I decided to move from then.
What was the name of it?
It's called Sega Point, I think, yeah.
Yeah, Sega Point. You did the music, I take it?
Back then I really had no one else to work with. I just did everything myself. I wrote terrible code, and I did Microsoft Paint graphics and some music.
What did you do the music in, out of curiosity? What program did you use?
TFM Music Maker by Shiru. It's a pretty nice program, and it was the only one at the time that had a replayer on the Sega Genesis that was actually usable.
So, what other demos have you produced for the Sega? What was your next demo? For the Mega Drive. what was your next demo?
The next one, I think, was off and on. I made a music player for the Genesis and Mega Drive called SMPS Play. It's a player for the music format used in the Sonic the Hedgehog games on the Mega Drive, Genesis. And then the real demo after that was MDEMS First, which I wrote together with a guy called Jorge Candeias, who's Portuguese. And yeah.
I see that you also had some part in Project MD. What part did you have in Project MD, out of curiosity?
Well, apart from testing and other minor stuff, I did the music for the game and tools for the sound engine.
The music is really wonderful. Let me play a track from Project MD. We'll be right back. You just told me while we were listening that this is your favorite track. Why is it your favorite track?
I started rewriting the music tools that I had previously done for the sound driver, and it supported a lot more effects and things like that. So I just think it sounds a lot better than all the other tracks in the game.
So how long have you been working with Titan?
Around, I would say, I can't really remember the exact time, but I think it was somewhere around April of 2012-ish.
Now, were you working on Overdrive before that?
Before we sort of disbanded MDEM, we already made a few concepts and ideas and also wrote a tiny little bit of code for our next MDEM, but none of it really got applied to Overdrive, so I would say no.
I see you're not working with Yorge anymore. What happened there?
Well, we sort of both had some issues where I had to finish school and Yorge had to finish university. Lots of exams for him, and he just couldn't make time for any demo coding, so we kind of just couldn't do anything.
I'm not familiar with this other programmer, to be honest with you. Did you recruit him, or was he part of Titan?
Well, we were a lot of people working together, and I was approached by one of the guys who was not a coder, but more like a graphician and musician, who basically suggested me to join. Well, he asked if I had a group and would like to come join Titan, and I said, well, we have MDEM, which is kind of, you know, on ice right now, but he said, okay, that's okay, we could make a collaborational demo. And then after a while we just decided we should all join, all the members of MDEM that were left should join Titan, and that was just me, so.
I see. What was it like working with the Titan graphicians?
It was absolutely fantastic. We basically had only had to tell the Grafician alien, by the way, we just had to tell him, I need graphics for this and this and this, and it has to look like this. And like 10 minutes later, he would already deliver a concept that you could use, or basically he would also pixel at work if he had to. It was really fantastic. Yes.
Did you lead the direction of Overdrive, or did the Grafician lead the direction, or was it more of a consensual sort? Not consensual, but was it more of a equal relationship leading the demo?
I would say it was rather an equal relationship. Sometimes it would happen the one way around, and sometimes it would happen the other way. Basically, while Alien was still experimenting with the graphics format that this console uses, he would make all kinds of really, really awesome stuff, and some of it was so awesome that we used it in the demo. Other times we just were working on effects that had I like to call them coder graphics, which are fillers that look terrible, but we just asked for new graphics and he would just give them to him, give us them immediately, basically. And other times there were just other members of the group suggesting things, and we would just sort of like agree to each other, and we would start coding the effect for it, and Alien would start making the graphics, and our musician Strobe would just start making the music part for it, and that's how it worked, basically.
How did Alien give you graphics? Was it just through graphic files, and then you did the conversion, or how did that work exactly?
We stumbled upon a graphic tool called ProMotion. It's on Windows, I think, only, it's a tool that is aimed at pixel artists, I would say. And you can do all kinds of limitations, and you can set it up to work exactly with the color palettes that the Mega Drive used. So he actually pixeled with the color restrictions that the console had, and he would export bitmap files that could be one-to-one mapped to the console colors.
That's pretty cool. That is a program out there that works with the restrictions of the Mega Drive. I've always worried about that, to be honest with you.
The common problem, yes.
I have a few questions about a couple of the effects. I'm wondering, first of all, if it was your effect, the 512 collar effect. I'm wondering how the animation was done. Was it a lot of memory, or did you recompute things on the fly?
It was basically, I didn't make the effect. It was made by our fellow group member Kabuto, and he basically saw the original, the DMA 512 color scene, and thought, well, this can do a lot better, and then he delivered, basically. But it works. To sort of make this work in full resolution, we had to work around a lot of timing problems, and the music couldn't get stuck at all. We couldn't afford that. So we also had to not use any DMAs in that scene, because the sound engine accesses 68K address space all the time, and so we had to not do that. Ideally. And so it's basically like a raster loop that waits for the blanking to start, because the horizontal interrupts just trigger a tiny little bit too late for us to do what we want, so, and the timing isn't reliable, so we just do a hard raster loop. And the advantage of that is that we neither break music nor do we break sprite display. We actually can display a few sprites on the screen while doing this, so that it was, there were a lot of advantages. And I think we rotate between three palettes that we reload dynamically.
The next effect that I was wondering about, again, if you had any part in it, was the 3D checkerboard effect. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, it was towards the end, where we also displayed credits. And the scene is unique in two ways. Well, first of all, I didn't make it either. It was also made by Kabuto. It was originally an afterthought, so to say, which we wanted to implement it first as a hidden part that you could like access with a code or something. But after one of our coders, Seek, made the original version, which was just scrolling in one direction and no zoom at all, Kabuto sort of took it and made it like you see in the demo. And just for fun, I guess, or because he could, he made a real-time text renderer, which rendered the credits text at an angle. And I'm not too sure about the internal specifics because I hadn't had time to study it because of deadline pressure. But he basically does rendering of the background tiles. He just basically renders them at whatever zoom level he specifies, which of course can be manipulated in real time, every frame at some point or something like that. And he renders them in the adequate size and just loops them. So that minimizes the work that has to be done. And then, if necessary, update the name table for it. But yeah, that's basically how it's done.
The sound, the music on it sounded very sample heavy. Did you use what how did you make the sound, out of curiosity?
We actually, this might sound a little odd, but it's the exact same sound driver as used in Project MD. It's just very optimized at sample playback, and the way we achieve this kind of quality, it's still not as perfect as it could be, but the driver is open source, so we just kind of, we happen to be able to get Seek, who made the driver, to work with us, and I basically I spent a lot of time trying to optimize sample playback because when there were huge DMAs, it would like slow down and stuff like that, and to try and work around that was very hard. But in the end, we managed to do that and ramp up the sample rate to around 13 kilohertz, and yeah. That's all we did. We just basically use all the open source tools that we already released for the sound driver.
Are there any interesting effects that you've done that you want to us to take note of before we leave?
Ooh, that's a hard question. I think what I liked the most of what I did was the horizontal twister near the beginning.
Oh yeah, that was very nice. I really like that.
Which was done using modifying all of the vertical scroll RAM indexes in the horizontal interrupt, and that's all it was, basically.
Okay. Yeah, it was very pretty. Thank you. Thank you for interviewing with us.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for working on the Mega Drive. You do awesome work.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 3.0 license.